This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3526 for Monday the 7th of February 2022. Today's show is entitled, HPR Community News for January 2022, and is part of the series, HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers, and is about 44 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, HPR volunteers talk about shows released, and comments posted in January 2022.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon, and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio Community News, this time for January 2022. And joining me this evening is...
Hi, it's Dave Morris. It's not evening here, but that'll do.
So, HPR is a community podcast that has been running for over 16 years. And where all the shows have been submitted by listeners very much like you. We have call for shows open at the moment. We would like people to submit shows. And I've asked the regular hosts not to submit shows more than once every 2 weeks, as was our policy, unless it gets really, really, really urgent. So what I've seen over the last period of time is that regular hosts have been coming in, shoring up the gaps, and I think that will lead to burnout from them. So I'm quite concerned about losing regular hosts. So if you're new to this whole concept of Hacker Public Radio, and you haven't introduced yourselves, I wonder if you could do that. Just a 5-minute show telling us who you are, where you're listening from, and the journey that brought you to tech community in general. That's a great show to start with. Dave, I would normally pass you over to introduce the new hosts for this month, but alas...
there are none, sadly.
Sadly. So let's do better next month, folks. Let's do better next month. So if the people listening to this could record a little show and send it in. It's not that hard. It's not that scary. And yeah. It'll be grand, sure. Think of us like a hackerspace. You wouldn't just walk into a hackerspace and just sit down and start listening to people without saying, hi, I'm Bob or Mary or Annabelle or whoever, and I'm new in the neighborhood and I'm just listening and my interests are blah, blah, blah. Correct, Dave, or not?
I would agree with that, yes, for sure. It's even if you're not a very talkative person, which is the thing I suffer from when I go into a room full of people.
Yes.
It's a good thing to... I mean, you would feel, you know, I'm trying to join this group. So, let me just break through the barriers in my head and try and say some stuff to introduce myself and stuff. Yeah, good point.
And feel free to be anonymous or come up with an interesting handle if you're worried that other people will know who you are. Plausible deniability is always an excellent thing. Anyway, last month, the first show... So what we do in this show is we're the janitors. We don't make the policy. Just go to the About page in HPR and you will see all about that. I won't go into it here. But what Dave and I do is go through the news, anything that's been happening with HPR in the last month, and we also go through every show just to make sure that everybody gets some feedback, and we'll read the comments that have been posted to those shows. And we start with community news for December 2021, and there was, alas, no comments to that, Dave.
There were no comments, no. We were so uncontroversial these days, that's the way of things.
Or the level for controversy has increased so much that what we say doesn't enter into it.
Yeah, we must think about ways of being mildly controversial in the future.
So next day we had one of our regular hosts who has stepped into the breach many times, Tony Hughes, and give us a little rundown on his new Juno PC, which he got before Christmas. Ooh, and this looks very nice indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. I had to rush off to the website to see what else they had there. I'm probably going to be in the market for something soon because my reliable old 9-year-old i7 stopped being reliable just a day or two ago. So, yeah. But yeah, it sounds great. And really, a good choice is made there, I would say.
I'm going to need to go to the door back in a second. Delivery of COVID tests, Dave.
Very good.
That's the world we live in.
Oh, indeed. It's too big to put through the letterbox, no doubt.
So, yes, this looks like a nice little PC, actually.
Yeah. The only thing against it is I quite like having large boxes that I can put lots of other gubbins in. The mood takes me, but that's probably where I've gone wrong.
So, yes, the next one released on the 5th of January was one produced prior to the HPR New Year show, and we used it as an updated version of our Mumble how-to. So, no comments on that. Hopefully it was self-explanatory.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Very, very timely, as intended, of course. So, yeah. In fact, I just referred to it because I'm using my laptop today and it still had the old address and stuff on there. So I went, oh, Ken did that. I'll go and read that show. That'll tell me what the name is.
Very, very good. Well, that's it. Boring how-tos. We got them. Following day, we had your show with McNallu, James Webb Telescope. And I know this one had a comment because I was laughing about it. DNT said that your show was about the recently launched, when we were recording this, James Webb Space Telescope, which was extremely exciting. And DNT said, Mission Control, great broadcast. And in quotes, that's the main engine, I think, and that's the booster. Wow. And there it goes. Goodness me. Is one of the audio clips that we will hear for generations to come. And I suspect many of the same phrases we heard at Mission Control that day, such as, I don't fully understand how Lagrange point works. And you want to do that, otherwise you end up in a rather wishy-washy bit of turkey, don't you?
It was sort of, stream of consciousness stuff and, ambient sound stuff. So it was,
well, it was a live stream.
It was. McNallo was cooking turkey for his guests, and he was doing this in between, which is great, and... So, yes, we had a little bit of discussion about turkey cooking along the way. Yes.
I'm rather peeved. You knew very well I was available and watching that day. I was peeved not to be included, but obviously you're keeping it a Scotch-only thing, one of the legacies of breakfast from Brexit.
I didn't actually realise that you... Well, there were two things, actually. First, Andrew...
Backpedal.
Andrew said, just out of the blue, I said to him, were you watching the James Webb thing? He says, oh yeah, should we chat about it on Mumble? And I said, yeah. And then I said to him, shall I record? And he, we're making a show then. Yeah. Okay. And at that point, I think we then fell into the whole process of launching. So it was all a bit last minute. The idea was created and executed within a relatively short space of time. So not having all that many brain cells think about
the thing. No,
okay. Yes, it would have been fun with three, but there you go.
And the following day, we had a interview with Benny, who recently got his ham radio ticket in Switzerland, and there was one comment to that show.
Right, and excuse me, Baffled said, nice show, hi Ken and Benny. It was a great show. Thank you. Things have sure changed since I got my ticket. I'm looking forward to future episodes in this series.
Yes, and if other people out there have recently got their amateur radio ticket in other jurisdictions, we're very, very interested in hearing from you. Much prefer to interview actual listeners who's done it as opposed to contacting the ham radio organizations, which I will be forced to do because nobody yet has stepped forward to be interviewed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. I enjoyed this show. It was quite an insight for for us non-hammy people.
So the following day was a very interesting one. Contest 2020-201 operators giving away $50 microphone to any new hosts who's joined. So this is something that he's running. So, yeah.
Great idea. Absolutely great idea.
Considering how few hosts there are, get your show in now and you win by default. That's very kind of it. I must say, I don't think we thank the community enough for all the stuff they do, like the stickers and the banners and the domains and all the rest of that stuff. A lot of stuff for HPR is provided by the community just as is.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely a thing we should make more fuss about.
And then possibly one of my most interesting episodes, because I'm heading down this track myself, was USB turntable fix and sound journey, where Archer 72 uses a Record A Sound and FF MPEG to record an album.
I haven't completely absorbed this yet. It's definitely something I want to do. Although I gave my record deck to my son, who is quite keen on vinyl and stuff, but I shall have to borrow it back off. Well, actually, I've got a young man's early record player thingy up in the attic somewhere, which was an extremely cheapo one. I'm disparaging my parents for buying it for me in my teens. I wonder if I could repurpose that. It's probably got real valves in it somewhere.
Cool. Boo. Wait 15 minutes for it to warm up.
Yeah.
I ordered I know you're talking about vinyl, but I have a whole box of cassette tapes to do first. Mm-hmm. And I ordered a USB, like a Walkman type format with a USB connection. I'm wondering how crap it's going to be, or whether I should just use my H2 Zoom with short, good audio cables in between. But we'll see closer to the time. In any event, on that happy day, I'll be referring to this episode.
Yeah. Some great stuff Archer 72 has done here and documented for us. That's amazing.
Yes, that's the best as well. Following day, we had Tukutoro To back with her show on the differences between C sharp and Haskell. And I like this because it kind of gave me a grounding on what the hell Haskell was all about.
Yeah, I know. It's I've said before, my friend Tom, who's a computer scientist, absolutely loves Haskell. But he doesn't use it much, but he just regards it as the most wonderful thing ever. And I think it's sort of a platform for learning about programming, I guess.
Yeah, I've seen them. Sorry, go ahead over.
No, I just to say, I think that comment was made in Tototo's show, but I didn't make a note of what she said. But it sort of set a marker in the sand, as far as I was concerned. Yeah. So much so I forgot.
I see that computer file use Haskell quite a lot when explaining some of the topics sometimes.
Yeah. I don't fully understand what they're talking about, because there was one show, What's a Monad? And I went into that thinking, oh, that'll be an interesting voyage. And I came out going, oh, I don't understand. So
yes. So the following day we had the Matrix Project Without Neo. So this is about the Matrix Foundation, a team by the Linux in-laws, obviously, an interview with them. And it was Neil Jensen, VP of Engineering at Element. And we use this every day. So great little tool, great interview.
Absolutely. I don't know if Neil Johnson ever went to OCamp, because there was a Matrix presence at OCamp, I think maybe a couple of years running. And lots of people were going and quizzing the people at the desk there as to what was going on. But yeah, so maybe we have met Neil at some point in an Og Camp context. Yeah, anyway, pretty good. But it's quite an impressive thing.
It is, yes. And those of you listening, FOSDEM is coming up, and if you really want to see Matrix at its best, have a tune into FOSDEM and you'll see all the things that it can do.
Yeah, I know. It's is it this coming weekend?
Yeah, it's this weekend, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So yes, must go and watch some of these things.
Exactly. Syntax switches and help. Any interest in the whole DOS thing, Dave?
Don't ask. I'm so prejudiced about these things because I went through it to a certain extent and came at the other end thinking, well, thank goodness that's over. Now I can go into a proper operating system. you asked me that because you knew I was going to say something like that. But I don't have any nostalgia for these things at all. In fact, my friend who I used to work with is very, very keen on OpenVMS as an old operating system. And I ran an instance for many, many years, probably about 10, but I have no desire to go back to it. He, on the other hand, set it up on Raspberry Pis and stuff and messed about with it and things. So I just want to move on.
Yeah. Tukatoroto, on the other hand, said, this brought back memories. This was fun to listen to and remember how my first PC was handed down IBM 088 that I got from a local metal shop. It had a whopping 640 kilobits of memory and two floppy drives. No hard drive at all. There were no fancy graphical user interfaces or anything. All interaction was text mode with the keyboard.
Yep. Been there, done that sort of thing.
The following day, we had Podman like Vagrant. And this was an episode from Klaatu, whose show notes, I must say, has improved over the years. So much so that I have been using this extensively. This is genius. It allows you just to run a little container, and it just opened up the world to me. Very, very good show. I've referred several people to this one since.
Yes. I can see the use in all sorts of contexts. I don't necessarily have any need at the moment that I can discern, but that might just be my short-sightedness. But good to know, should I ever encounter the need.
Well, yeah, I use containers quite a bit. So, and this just made this a lot easier.
Yep.
Following day, we had Jezra flapping gums about old hardware and how I use it. And this show had everything. Music, ducks, what's not to love?
Yeah. Typical Jezra. I missed his shows. He's done some gems in the past. Then this was a gem as well. Fantastic.
I must say I've written my own tool to migrate photos off SD cards. Mm-hmm. Amazingly overkill. I think I did. I've already done a show about it way back. I just never really liked the idea of removing the files before I was 100% sure that they were on the destination.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, that's a good point. Yes, I tend to keep them on my camera quite a lot of the time. No, I mean and elsewhere.
Yeah, good lad.
So, yeah.
Three off-site locations, no doubt. One in the bank.
Well, yeah. They're obviously all not in the camera.
Yeah.
So they're
definitely
off that
not just in the camera.
Yeah.
All righty, no other comments on that. No comments on the next show, which was Summits on the Air, combination of mountain climbing and amateur radio. Basically, you leg it up a mountain with all the kit that you need to transmit, and you transmit stuff and people listen to you. What could be simpler?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a great thing. I had no idea that that people did this sort of thing.
Nor did I.
Trust Benny.
Exactly. That sounds altogether too much to fit for my too much exercise.
Yeah, I have trouble getting up the hill to the bus stop these days, so yeah. I ain't going up no mountains.
Bring a radio with you and we'll call it. Anywho, hacking stories, soft drinks, these are always popular. Old pen test stories by operator. And you know you're in trouble when the link to the show notes links to the script that says how to mass unlock all the accounts in the organization you're pen testing. Mass PowerShell unlock script.
Uh-huh.
No, it's a great show. If you haven't listened to it, give it a listen, folks. It had me in stitches.
There's tremendous anecdotes about doing that sort of work.
Apparently he's got a lot more coming, so.
Yeah,
which is great on the HBR getting shows level, but also I find them quite interesting.
Yeah. It's a world I know nothing about, really. It's a great revelation as far as I'm concerned.
So the next day, no comments either on my show about Android debugging and SCRCPY. If you have an Android phone, this is absolutely useful for you. The show, I talk about how to connect to Android debugging tools remotely over the network so you don't have to be plugged in on the USB cable, and then how you can interact with the UI, like a VNC session or something like that, with your phone as well.
Mm-hmm. No, very, very interesting. Yeah. I need to get into this stuff myself a bit more than I have. So, good. A great resource there.
I found that the Android debugging tools are the only way to reliably get files to and from your machine. ADB space pull, and then the destination from where you want to get it on your phone, and then ADB push, and then the destination where you want to put them. Because everything else is lying to you with symlinks and permissions, and symlinks and one user sees this view of the world and the other sees the other view of the world. But with Android debugging tools, you're straight in as you're writing them where they're going to be. For the most part, there are symlinks as well, but at least the files are where you expect them to be.
I just tend to use KDE Connect for my phones these days, but then I'm just shifting photos or that sort of stuff on off the thing.
So the next day we had another one in basically a rant by operator, and I could feel his frustration, particularly as luck would have it, I was coming back from getting a prescription from our own system here in the Netherlands, and we have it set up that if you go to the doctor, then it's electronically goes to your chemist, and then your chemist will put your prescriptions into like a ATM machine on the wall, and then you can go to the wall 24/7. You get an email to say it's ready, and then you go to the wall anytime and plug in your PIN code and then get your medicines and go home.
Wow, that's quite sophisticated. The way it's done here, if you've got repeat prescriptions, which I do have, every 56 days I get a repeat prescription, 56 being 2 28s, I guess, and pills coming in 28s quite a lot, then it just automatically gets filled by the pharmacist. So I have the one pharmacist who I have the deal with, and then I just go and collect it a day or so after the fill date, and there you go. And of course it's free in Scotland, not in England, but yeah, prescriptions are free, have been for quite a number of years.
So they're covered by healthcare, health insurance here, so they, the bill all goes to the health insurance provider, and then they fight it out. But so, anyway, that's irrelevant.
But operators experience is horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. So I'll read the comment from Jane.
Please do,
who says, empathize with you. Dear operator, I prescribe the medicines you discuss. It's a big old pain for doctors too. The law changed in 2021 that you're not supposed to fill controlled substances with a paper prescription, only electronic. I see my ADHD patients every 3 months. The patients call my office every 30 days in between for a refill, and the refill is done electronically from my desk. My patients don't have the problems you do. There should be a 5-day leeway before your Rx runs out. I use good Rx for my own family's prescription. It makes a big cost difference, and I do not know how good Rx works either. In order for the Controlled Substances Act to change, it will take an act of Congress. So contact your Congress member. Well, what can you say? It's a horrendous system. It's not perfect elsewhere, but wow. This sounds just dreadful.
Yeah, I think there's the opioids crisis, so there's probably a very good reason for doing it that way, but it's very frustrating, I can imagine.
Yeah, that would be the reason, I guess. But I think the USA has become a lot more cautious about this sort of stuff. What is it, Sudafed, which is a thing that you take for allergies and that type of stuff, which can, if you're up to doing the chemistry, be turned into an opiate of some sort. So it's quite heavily restricted in the USA. It's restricted to some extent here, but not anywhere near as much.
Hmm. Okay. Did not know that.
I don't know the details, but I think if you look it up, you can find quite a lot of information about how this is handled in various parts of the world.
Then the next day we had JWP with HP Steam laptop and Ubuntu, and he's also talking about Pine 64, and I must say I agree with him. I love Pine 64 as a company, as a concept, but I've had very, very bad luck. The Pine laptop that I got, the keyboard, is you just cannot type on the keyboard. I don't know what they thought were thinking. And I got the Pine phone and it overheats. And I got the Pine phone keyboard and it doesn't work. So I just am throwing money at the company.
That's a shame. As you say, the concept is great, but the reality doesn't, if it doesn't match, then what's the point?
Yeah, it is the perfect, like the Pine phone and the keyboard. It's like having a Scion in your hand. It's absolutely perfect, but I just plug it in and then it doesn't work. And then the next thing you're looking at is shimming the Pogo planes and different operating systems, and you're doing everything to see if you're doing it right or not. And then it turns out, Anyway, Jessa has a comment. Monty Mint phone. Did your Monty Mint phone ever come in? I remember you mentioned it in a previous episode. Would love to hear your experiences with the phone.
You and me.
So the next day we had the Big Blue Button and NAS, and this is the Outlaws again talking about trying to configure Big Blue Button or behind network address translation. And once you start dealing with turn and stun servers and all that sort of stuff, it is a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm. Yes, NAT can be a pain. It's a solution for most people's network setup, of course, but it's also a pain in other contexts. We used to, when I worked at the university, we used to have constant battles with departments who decided they didn't have enough addresses and put a NAT router in. So that meant that we could no longer see their devices and addresses and stuff like that. And it caused all sorts of problems with our DNS and this sort of stuff. It meant that there was a sort of stealth element to it, which was quite quite prone to being attacked. We thought.
So the following day, we had Rust 101 Episode 2, Rolling with the Errors. This is where Black Kernel was taking a leaf out of Tattoo's book and writing a sample dice program as an example of how to write a Rust program. And I enjoyed this due to the fact that he left in the errors as he was going along.
Yes, absolutely. That's a really necessary thing to be able to see that it isn't a state of achieving perfection just straight out of the blue. It's a thing where you sort of poke at it and it doesn't work until you think, oh, I know what I did wrong, and so on and so forth. Yes, I thought this was brilliant. I thought it was a really well done show. I thought I liked the Git. GitLab, yeah, GitLab content, and the reference to it. I was sitting, I'd had the time to sit down and look at it while I was listening. I'm usually puttering around the house with headphones on, but he really explained it well. You could see, you know, as he did an approach to the final program step by step, sometimes with errors, as you say, and you'd see how it was all going to come together and stuff. It's an odd, it's a sort of slightly weird language by my standards, but of course my standards are old and crusty. So,
that's your excuse. I don't know what's mine.
But it looks like something I should really have a go at using myself, just to get the hang of what you can do with it. But, yeah, very very cool.
Yeah, the thing was, I'm now looking at the source code for the first time, and it is exactly what I had in my head. So, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. He did an excellent job of tracking it and telling us about how it was assembled and the thoughts behind it. That is really high quality tutorial material, I would say.
Absolutely. And we had Inversion Layer Modes, Dave, part of the GIMP series. And what I found interesting about this one was that he also explained what's happening with the mats as he's doing this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. There was also a little bit of a practical example mentioned. I haven't been to the website to look at it, and I bet you there's some good stuff there, but I haven't had a chance to do it yet. But the why you would want to do this is always the question, and of course it's due to lack of experience or imagination on my part. But I enjoyed the reference to how you might want to use this. That was good.
No, excellent show. He does not get enough credit for this. So people who should get credit for shows this month: Archer 72, Acer Aspire 5 Slim. Some serious upgrades going on here. Nice photos and everything else.
Yeah.
Everybody has a computer except me, Dave.
Yeah. Well, and me. I did get Raspberry Pi 0W2. The intent of making it run Octoprint, but I haven't started doing it yet. But anyway, not very exciting, that one.
And that was it for shows for this month, if I'm correct.
That's right. Yes, I believe so.
For once, I stopped on time.
I'm suffering from the single monitor. Having been so used to having two hopping about between tabs here like a mad thing.
There were additional comments. There was one to an episode from Klaatu back April of last year, and it was tune system performance with tuned D, tuned, lost you, Dave, episode. I was surprised to hear you say that you've never done an episode on UDev, because I distinctly remember that episode. You were discussing creating your own dev rules to automatically run tasks upon inserting a USB drive. It may be that you've never done an episode on HBR about it. I can't find it for the life of me. Either way, thank you as ever for this episode. And Windigo, there was definitely an episode about that, because I remember hearing it while I was on the bus going from work back to the airport, where I work is the airport, is a train station, and I was just at a point where an aircraft was landing over us, so I had to rewind it. There you go.
Well, I remember this as well, and I had a quick scan of the database. I didn't find any keywords like UDev and stuff, but
But his own shows are the new ones are slightly better, but the old ones are terrible. There's no metadata associated with them at all.
I used the tags as well, but nothing happened. Yeah. I certainly recall that, because I was struggling with UDev at the time and thought I got my head around it, but Klaatu was ahead of me with that one, and so I remember using what he was talking about to do my own things. I cannot remember what they were now. It's quite a while ago. Yes. There's probably quite a lot more. Yeah.
Send us some comments, please.
Yes. Glad to himself remembers it would be fun. But there's a lot of work to be done still with the tagging of the shows. I mean, they are all tagged, but sometimes the tags need further work.
It's more duplicates now, Dave, but it should have shown up by now.
Yep. So hopefully we will get this cleaned up a lot. Right, next comment was a comment on your show about 50 years since the first edition of Unix was published, and it was from Wynort, who says, "Thanks, great show. Agree with previous comment, listener who just turned 51. So it's about how old you feel if you look back those 50 years. And this person has just turned 51.
One sec. Yes, I know the feeling. How I record HBR episodes by Norrist. And just as a quick recap, he had a script that you run against a markdown file. Thank you for this program and the introduction as a podcast. I just downloaded the zip from GitLab, while trying the commands, I realized a section with dependencies is missing. I think pip is too large, so I usually do run it in a virtual environment. In other Python projects, and there's an example, there's a requirements.txt file. I wonder if you would consider adding one. That's retro. That's actually a good tip there. I find that very clever on pip's part, that it automatically downloads to dependencies if you put them into the text file.
Yep. Okay, that's quite good, actually. Yes.
Yeah.
It's Okay. Fine. So the last comment, previous on past shows, is on the big Christmas New Year bash with the Grumpies from Linux In-Laws, and operator says, "Love this show. Reminds me a little bit of Dev Random Podcast. This one had a lot of laughs. You guys are my friends for now. Mine won't do anything. Holidays are hard for most people. Shooting the shit and ranting are my favorite podcast episodes. Take care of yourselves. You're the only you have."
Excellent. So, was there any mailing list discussions, Dave?
Not a lot.
Call for shows, unfortunately. Very cryptic call for shows, as maybe I went through and made a note of all the times I called for shows in the last 10 or so years. And Archer had a question about to show the calendar on the main page, and it is there. It's a bit not obvious. It's called the upload page, and it's on the main menu, so it's on every page.
If you don't realize what that is, then it's easy to do what you did there.
Yeah, exactly. Tuckoff 51 had a comment on our Matrix channel about the having basically a Docker container, which is where I use that Podman thing from Klaatu Show, as a by-the-by. And that allows you to download that, and then you're running a little instance all configured, and you don't have to deal with the libraries and all the rest of that crud. And basically, I was looking for some feedback on that. And I put together so Mike Ray, big supporter of the eSpeak Voices. And I put together a link there with an OGG file of the three or four different voices played at normal speed, 1.5 times, 2, 2.5, 3, 3.5, 4, 4.5, and 5 times the speed. And basically leaving it up to people to decide which one they prefer. So I'll add that here. What do you think, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I have it, I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I have it, I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I have it, I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I have it, I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I have it, I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I have it, I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I have it, I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I have it, I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I have it, I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I have it, I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I have it, I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I'm not going to
be silent. It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now
that I'm not going to be silent. It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now
that I'm not going to be silent. It took me quite a long time to
develop a voice, and now that I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and
now that I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice,
and now that I'm not going to be silent. It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I'm not going to be silent.
It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I'm not going to be silent.
And Nigel expressed his preference, which I won't say here for fear of tainting your opinion. And yet again, we're amazed at how fast Mike can read.
Yes. Quite a superhuman effort, sounds like.
So that was pretty much that for the comments, I think, Dave, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah, on the mailing list. There's not much on the events calendar thing except for FOSDEM coming up.
FOSDEM, correct.
In
yeah.
a few days from our recording time. It'll be passed by the time the show goes out, though.
Yeah, and, unfortunately.
I have an item here on just keeping track of the older shows that I'm uploading to archive.org. Managed to do 120 this month, so that leaves 124 still to do. So hopefully, fingers crossed, get that 124 done before the next community news. But don't hold your breath.
Very good, very good. Okay, so that's it.
That is it, yes, there's nothing else to discuss or look at, so that's fine.
Okay, people who haven't submitted a show so far this year, please consider doing that. New hosts, please come in, you always get priority. Pick the first available slot, and tell us about yourself. And if you don't, I will be very disappointed. And I will talk to your mother/parent guardian, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker
Public Radio.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is.
Hosting for HPR is kindly provided by anhonesthost.com,
the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.